Welcome to the Connect the Dots podcast with Jeffrey Klein, part of the Shareable Podcast Network, and sponsored by AIQ, a snackable newsletter of AI news for busy professionals. Jeffrey engages in conversations with a diverse group of successful people, exploring their stories and the dots they connect along the way. The hope is to inspire your journey and find ways for you to connect your own dots. Here's your host, Jeffrey.
My guest today is Jason Druss. With a rich background in video and post-production, Jason is currently helping to build the future of pro video as a senior product marketing manager and strategist at Adobe. He's working on revolutionary products, including the world's number one pro video editing app, Adobe Premiere Pro. At the heart of his professional journey is a passion for storyteller and customer empathy, driving successful product launches, innovative product roadmaps, and authentic ways to connect creative professionals with AI. Please welcome Jason.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to having a really fun conversation with you today.
Well, here's open. So we'll start at the beginning. So where were you born and what did your parents do for a living?
Yeah, sounds great. I am born and bred and currently live in South Jersey, right outside of Philadelphia, stone's throw away from the Jersey Shore, not too far from New York. Born and raised here, lived all over the place. Most of my adult life in Philly, did a stint in Atlanta, ended up back where I came from in South Jersey. And my parents both worked in sales. My mother worked in advertising, publishing and advertising more specifically. And my dad always worked in enterprise software sales.
Yeah, the tech side coming in. So when you were a kid growing up, was there anything specific you're like, oh, when I grow up, I want to be a fill in the blank, astronaut, rock star, see the guitarist on the back?
Yeah, music's always been a lifelong hobby of mine, but ever since I was a kid, in some way, shape, or form, I wanted to be some kind of filmmaker or work in movies and TV to some degree. You know, I think everyone has like a big passion and dream of like being a big director or a screenwriter. And then when you get a little bit older and you find out more about what you love, a lot of us tend to like, you know, dial into a specific, you know, craft. Mine was color grading that I chose. But since I was a little kid, I've always wanted to be some kind of filmmaker.
Yeah, you and I share that because I was fascinated by the movies and creating things from nothing. And writing was something that for me that was kind of a through line for it because I wasn't technical enough to become a colorist as you are. So speaking of being a colorist, can for people who don't know what color grading is, can you kind of share what that is? And kind of how it influenced you and kind of going, helping the creative to the strategic?
Yeah, absolutely. Color grading is a fascinating discipline, but essentially, you know, you can think of it in two ways. The first part of it is color correction. You know, you're shooting outside, you got multiple cameras, the clouds are there, then the clouds are not there. You have cuts against one another, you have a sunny shot and a cloudy shot. How do you make those two match in post-production so that you can keep the viewer, you know, in the movie or in the show or the spot? And then also, you know, color grading has a very, you know, creative side to it where you are there working with the director, the cinematographer, the producer, and you are helping to add a very important visual component of the storytelling to add different kinds of creative looks and control the vibe of the storytelling to help relight parts of the image. And color grading is really where you get the intersection of creativity and science in the filmmaking process. And I've mostly worked on lots of documentaries, TV shows, short form branded content, commercials, things like that.
It's as someone who produces video, it's color correction, color grading is super important so that it looks and feels really good. And when you have someone who knows what they're doing, it can make a huge difference that I don't think people recognize how important it is for it to look consistent, as well as this is the hue and the tone and the feel you're looking for. So I definitely respect and admire those who do it very well. I read something about speaking about turning noise into signal. to make strategy simple. Can you explain what that means? I came across, I wasn't quite sure what you meant.
I've referenced that thought in a few posts that I've done recently, and I think it's something that comes to mind because I wasn't born and raised into the, corporate world, so to speak, or the tech world, so to speak. I was an artist and a practitioner as a colorist, or as a spokesperson and demo artist for like a large part of my career. And then in 2021, I transitioned into product marketing at Frame.io, the startup. 10 months after I joined, we were acquired by Adobe. And Frame.io is a fantastic review and approval and collaboration tool out there. If the folks listening aren't aware, but I quickly, was in rooms with product managers and product designers and engineers and executives and leaders and sellers who have been in, developing and marketing and launching applications for years, if not decades. And I had to very, very quickly get myself up the curve to figure out how to speak proficiently, how to get my ideas across the finish line, and how to show up as a member worthy of a seat at the table versus being a very empowered, emboldened customer, kind of walking into rooms, flipping over tables, and saying, "It would be so cool if we did this, and people would love it if we did that." So I've also been the kind of person where I don't know, I kind of have a very passionate and excited demeanor and how I approach situations and problems and ideas. And I found that for most of my life, especially most of my adult life, I found myself just walking into a room and just going at it. And I've had a tendency to rant. And in my own professional development, my mentors and my managers and my colleagues have all, greatly assisted me, and I've been lately practicing this idea of, I visualize anything I can say or can do or can impact as a field of just noise happening all over. But how do you take that noise and convert it into a razor sharp signal, very articulately, so that you can get your ideas over the finish line, so that executives and cross-functional stakeholders and peers and customers do align with the vision that you are presenting them with. And that really is one of the only ways to get things done in this world, in a world where we're all constantly connected to our screens, our devices, connected to work. So it's just really all about being articulate at work and making sure people understand and respect what it is that you have to say and bring to the table.
Someone who I've been joking, have professional ADHD, not to discount what people who have real challenges with that, but it's shiny object syndrome and all those kinds of things that you kind of get. And being clear and concise when you need to communicate is super important if you're going to persuade, influence, and collaborate with people to get things done. So it totally resonates with me. Now you came from this kind of production, color grading, visual storytelling, and now you're in a position where a lot of that is involved with technology. So there's an element of technology that's always been there, it seems. How's your relationship with technology?
My relationship with technology. Well, I mean, whether I'm working on, a TV show or a documentary or some branded content, or whether it's the technology I'm using to help represent the voice of the customer in developing and messaging and marketing products at Adobe, technology is a really essential, critical component of how we live and operate in our professional lives and our personal lives. I've always been fascinated in how one can leverage technology to become a better storyteller. Because at the end of the day, I think that's what we're all really doing. We're telling stories, whether it's through media, whether it's to the person we're sitting across from in work to, make sure we hit some kind of arbitrary target by the end of the quarter. We're all just telling stories and trying to get people to align with our stories and align with theirs as well. Technology is the way that I do that at work and in life.
Yeah, well, as someone who's a big proponent of the power of story and using technology to do that, we're very aligned in terms of seeing the need and importance of leveraging technology to be more effective in that communication and telling that story. I think people don't always see the connection between, wait, tech and story. Like, isn't story very human and tech's very machine? And no, it's that combination that really kind of drives it forward. So tell me about your role now, and what do you find kind of most challenging about it?
Great question. So right now I'm a senior product marketing manager at Adobe. I work on Adobe Premiere Pro and After Effects. We're the leading professional video editing and motion design platforms, where a lot of movies and TV shows and everything down to YouTube videos and shows and are used. And the most challenging part about any job today is that I feel like there aren't enough hours in the day. The cool thing about product marketing is that you get to represent the voice of the customer from product or workflow or feature, like ideation and brainstorming, down to the development, being in the weeds with the product managers, the designers, the engineering teams. We own the positioning and messaging and storytelling of a feature when it's ready to go to market. We manage the product launches, and then we monitor and track the success and performance of any given workflow feature or product based on the goals that we set in the beginning of the process. And we do this while representing the voice of the customer, having a seat at the table cross-functionally with all the other core components and teams that make and ship and market products. And we do so to make sure that we ensure strong product market fit, and that the investments that we make in generating these new products deliver us to an gained result that we're looking for. And when you work in a position that is so cross-functional and no one day is ever the same, I constantly find myself just wishing I had more time to do more.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the promises of AI is it's supposed to save you time. But I think sometimes people don't realize it opens doors to lots of other opportunities and thoughts and brains. And so you can get, fall down that rabbit hole of what it can help you do and learn and be. And time is, our greatest commodity. And so I think it's always love to be able to just pick some more. But that's one thing that kind of we're all at the same level because there's only 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're all have the same number of minutes and hours to be able to accomplish what we want to accomplish. So, yeah, I can imagine that's a big challenge that you have with what seems like a lot of different voices, including the customer that you're dealing with. What do you find most rewarding about your role?
That's an easy question. I always go back and remember vividly the 19-year-old version of myself who was scared and terrified that I would never find a way to make a living being, creative, let alone make a living at all. And it was understanding how to leverage creative software and cameras and filmmaking technology, and figuring out how do I combine A, B, and C with my limited resources and generate the kind of output that I want to in order to grow my own career and my storytelling and my ability to make an impact in the world. And I never forget that, and I keep that here every day. So the favorite part of my job is that I get to impact and help develop and help market and storytell a product that millions of video editors all over the world rely on to do their work and to tell their stories. It's an honor and a privilege, and I'm very cognizant and aware of that every day as I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing on a given day.
Yeah, someone who dabbles with Premiere Pro, I have to say, just gets better and better. And the tools the ones I've seen and the ones I know that are coming, it's exciting just to know that you're making that impact. And I think that's really cool. So you said when you were 19, you were kind of scared about. I always ask if what one piece of advice, knowing what you know now, would you give to your, we'll say, 19-year-old self?
Oh man, don't we all think about that? Maybe sometimes a little too often. If I could go back in time, after I finished shaking myself by the shoulders, I would say to myself, slow down, take some deep breaths, zoom out, and figure out what it really is you want out of life and out of your career. And if you can visualize the goals and you can visualize what it is that you want to do, you will have an easier time, no pun intended, connecting the dots and figuring it all out and figuring out how to get from A to B. But it's so easy to be completely overwhelmed and dialed into, again, like all the noise happening all around you all the time. And it's really hard to zoom out and see that big picture. But that's what I would try to advise myself to do if I could go back in time.
I think I still should share that advice with myself now, but I totally agree. Because slowing down, I forget the book. It's, I think, Going Slow to Move Fast or something like that, where we realize by taking that little bit of time to kind of be thoughtful about things, we can then really go forward and fast and get things done. So you've worked, on movies and you've worked on TV and you've worked, with Adobe making that great impact to all these people. You're at the cutting edge with AI. By most people's definitions, you are successful. But I'm always interested in, so how would Jason define success?
Wow, how does one define success?
How does Jason define success?
I
Not someone, Jason. How do you define success?
would find success if you can wake up most mornings and just think, man, this is going to be a good day. You're successful. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are, how much money you have. If you can wake up every day being extremely thankful and appreciative of the people who you are around, the people who you get to engage with, and what it, how it is you're spending your time, then you have a good life and you are successful.
I love that. Yeah. It's funny. My father and grandfather used to say, you have to want to get up and go to work every day. And that's always stuck with me as like, you're right. Like if, again, I've been in situations where that hasn't been the case in certain career parts of my career where I was like, oh, but yeah, it's, I think enjoying what you do is such an important piece that people forget, like that it's,
Yeah.
I like what you do, you'll do a better job.
Yeah. And even outside of work, just the practice of gratitude and being able to appreciate and live with gratitude at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. I think that's the key to a successful life. And also not letting anyone else define success for you is the important thing, because comparison is the thief of joy.
Wow, I like that. Comparison is the thief of joy. So I have twin daughters who are constantly comparing. I'm gonna have to share that with them. Like, don't compare yourself. Just be joyful.
Good luck.
Yeah. So you get to do this cool thing. What inspires you?
The customers inspire me, honestly. A lot of people who work on Premiere Pro and After Effects, we are video professionals ourselves, and we came from the industry and were converted or, converted into whatever roles we appear as now, in the company. And we're all just extremely user obsessed, and we do it for the customers and we do it for the users. And every day I spend an enormous amount of time talking with customers, catching up with them. Just before we got on this call, I was just texting a customer, asking about like, well, how well, what would it be like if we did this thing? You like, what would that mean for you? Or like, how are you accomplishing solving this problem, right now? Every move we make, every decision we make, every new feature we put in the product, it's all directly built on and based off of like deep-seated pro video community advocacy and connection and communication. So at the end of the day, it's the customers and the users, because it's just, again, all of us, we think of ourselves and the kind of app that we want to use ourselves and the kind of problems that we know our customers are dealing with, we want to solve those. It's all about the customers.
Yeah, I love that. And it's interesting. I was listening to a speaker at this conference and they're talking about sales, but I think it's applicable what she said. Are you interested? Are you committed? Or are you obsessed? And it's like when you become obsessed about the customer, which the best businesses and the best brands do, And I love the fact that like you're in it because you understand it. As someone who's familiar with what video production is like, you have a window, and then you can have that communication in a way and that conversation with people, and then you both are excited because you're like, oh, this is great that they can do it, and they think it's great. And so I love that. So a lot of people, AI is moving fast and furious, particularly in AI video. If someone's like, I like video, or I want to get into video, and they want to kind of increase their AI video literacy, where do we start? What do you suggest? How do we begin and get better at it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, I'd say if your goal is to just like get really good at AI, you might be at the wrong starting point, per se, because what do you don't necessarily just want to be good at AI. You want to use AI to do a thing, to solve a problem, to create something. So the question should be, how do I make a really great film or a really great music video or a commercial? Or a sales video or a tutorial of some sort. How can I leverage and use AI to help me accomplish this task and get to my goal? So I'd say that's always first and foremost. Then once you figure out, okay, well, like here's how I want to do it, and I have access to this, and maybe I have a camera and I want to do some, cool AI stuff throughout my workflow, or whether I want to, enter a generative workflow, for instance. That's when you start figuring out the puzzle pieces of how can I leverage this new technology to help me get to my overall goal of making a thing. I'd say practically, I love this new product that we came out with recently called Firefly Boards. It's an ideation and kind of like a mood board creation application that lets you leverage various AI models from Adobe's commercially safe Firefly image and video models to other third-party models as well that you can choose to use from if you like. And you can create entire concepts. You can create variations based on text and videos that you generate. And you can just move everything out in this free-form grid. And I find it perfect for storyboarding, for ideation, for, turning what I have in my head after I write a script into something real and plausible. And then I'd say, take a look at what's already there. Because if you want to leverage AI to help you make videos, some of the technology we have in Adobe Premiere Pro is just, it's fantastic. And personally, like I use it on a daily or weekly basis. I make a lot of videos for my job at work. Sometimes I make videos that I send around to, internal stakeholders. Just to, define alignment. I'll make a really, I'll mix a screen recording with a PowerPoint presentation, with a screen recording of me in Premiere Pro, with other things that I've filmed and captured along the way. And I use a lot of the AI tools that we've had in Premiere for a very long time, our assistive AI workflows, like transcription, where I import my video, Premiere Pro just automatically analyzes and transcribes everything I say. I use text-based editing, so I can edit my video like I'm editing a text document. I can refine and shorten my workflow. And I use Media Intelligence in the new search panel, which is a workflow that we came out with earlier this year in Premiere Pro 25.2. We're up to .3 now, where if I have, hundreds of gigabytes or terabytes of footage, and I don't spend all that time meticulously organizing every single clip into these neat little organized bins, and even sometimes after you do, you can't find that one needle in a haystack clip. And I'm just like, I know I had that one shot. I knew I had this screen recording where I was, in Premiere Pro and there was a red car in the background and the sun was setting and I had two people talking to each other. So I can go to the new search panel and I can say, find me the screen recording with the car in the background with the two people sitting on top of the car at dusk. And I can describe the clips like I'm talking to a person and it just finds the right clip, So leverage the available assistive and generative AI tools that you have at your disposal, right now.
Yeah, and I love that, in terms of a leveraging it for I had this thought, you almost said the way I, which is don't focus on trying to be great, great at AI. Use AI to be great, whatever else that thing that you're trying to do. And then obviously, I always say when it comes to AI, just go play, just go play and experiment and let, like It's amazing you're describing these things, and it just sounds like magic. It really does. I still have that kind of like child look, you know, you put something in there and you're like, oh my God, it just did this thing that I just, you know, that what's possible is just being expanded. And I love that about AI, and I love that about the video tools that Adobe are putting out there, where you're like, I wish I could just, oh wait, I can. And that's the part that's pretty cool, I think, for people who are playing in the space. So in terms of, you know, you're coming out with these tools, there are a lot of AI generative video models. Is there anything specific you think is like kind of the next trend in how people are creating or using AI to improve the video content they're working on?
Let's see. Yeah, I have a few thoughts there. I think that, we're gonna see a shift into what we consider to be busy work and tedium, and what we consider to be the actual creative work that we're doing, I think the more tedium and busy work that we can remove from workflows, and workflows get extremely advanced and can get complicated. Even if you're just working by yourself, as soon as you realize that you need filters or effects or certain kinds of cuts in your timeline, once you get past a certain level of complication, your workflow can become very advanced and complex and time-consuming. So the more that we can automate tasks for the video editor or motion designer or what have you to work in the background and remove that to you, so you can actually spend more time being an artist and being creative and focused on the things that you want to focus on, that I think that's where we're going to continue to see things shift, whether it's through, straight up assistive or generative AI workflows, whether it's through something, agentic. I just think we're going to continue to see a shift in giving humans more time to do actual creative work that they want to do.
I believe it, and I'm excited for it because I think that is a wonderful evolution of how AI is helping us be more human, which is what I, you know, as an AI humanist, it's like human-centered AI. It's about doing exactly that, about taking those things that we really don't want to do and don't do particularly well, to focus on those creative and strategic things that we love, that gives us meaning. Okay, so now we're gonna kind of go to the rapid fire section. Doesn't always go as rapid as I think. So do your best to answer, and if you get stumped, you can always just say pass.
Okay.
So if a movie was made about your life, who would you want to play you?
Oh my goodness. All right. I'd say, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he's not with us anymore, but it's just as preposterous of an idea as someone making about me. So
I didn't give you parameters, so that's great. Speaking of which, can you name one of your favorite movies? No.
oh yeah, my favorite movie is Moulin Rouge, hands down. It's always been my favorite since I was a kid. I love it. I watch it. I don't know, once or twice a year. It's just my favorite movie. It's fantastic.
It blew when it came out, it blew me away. It really just was incredible. Just yeah. Can you name a book that left a lasting impression on you?
Yeah. The Art of Learning. No, sorry. Pardon me. The Art of Asking by Amanda Palmer. I read that book when I was in college, I believe. And it's just about having the strength and courage and understanding that you have permission to ask for help and to ask for things. And most of the time, people want to help other people. But we have imposter syndrome. We have where we're nervous about, impeding ourselves on others. But, the only way to really move forward is to ask for help. And that book, I think, helped me with a lot of my career.
Love it. I think that's fantastic. Now this is a tricky one, but I'm going to ask it with a little parameter, which is, what is your favorite AI tool that isn't an Adobe product?
Ooh, that is a good one.
Had to twist that in there.
I actually really love what Miro is doing right now. I'm a huge Miro nerd. Like, I live in Miro, and my Miro boards look like insane, like conspiracy theory maps. Like, that Charlie meme from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And Miro has been implementing some really cool AI tools in terms of helping you generate your whiteboards and your canvases, and also helping to, craft and accelerate your template editing.
Love it. Do you have a favorite emoji?
Mind blown.
With AI, that happens often. I'm using that all the time. Do you have a favorite non-digital activity?
I do. I love going for a schwitz. I will oftentimes relax at the sauna or the steam room, and I love it. It's my favorite thing. So you'll find me in there.
Well, that may answer this question. What's the one thing you can't live without? A good schwitz.
Oh, that's an easy one. My wife and my son.
Oh. If you could be credited with inventing something, either that exists or doesn't yet exist, what would it be and why?
Once again, my son. I was a part of that production, and I helped invent him, and he's around here somewhere. He's at
Do you
school.
always want to take credit though? Sometimes you're like, ah, that's depending on them. With my children, I say, when they're doing really well, I'm like, there's my son. And when they're misbehaving, I'm like, Nita, that's my wife. That's your son. That's my
I've never met this kid before.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I'm very proud of that invention. He's a wonderful, bright kid.
What's his name?
Ezra.
Ezra. Love it. Jason, this has been awesome as a fellow kind of creative mind and someone who's in this space of video production. I love hearing about what you're doing, and I love hearing the kind of theory behind the practice of what you're doing, which I think is very aligned with what I think you should be doing. You've been really generous with your time. Is there anything that you want to promote, present, share with people?
Well, I would absolutely love it if you're a Premiere Pro user. Just make sure you're updated to the latest version. Make sure you're trying out the beta version of the app so you can test everything before we, put it in market. You can give us great feedback and help report bugs to us so we can continue to make the app as stable and fast and as performant as possible. But also, like we were saying before, I came into this tech world, like 4 5 years ago, and there were many points along the journey, especially in the first couple of years, where I thought I was going to fail, or I thought that I had failed. And if someone like myself, who just grew up as an obsessed, video editor and colorist, and have had the great fortune of coming across so many wonderful mentors and managers and colleagues who helped me get myself up the curve, I, always have a desire to pay it forward and help others as well. So I'm very fascinated always talking to people who are interested in shifting careers, in breaking into the tech world or product marketing without an MBA or without a tech background. So yeah, just reach out to me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, very, very searchable. And I just, love having these conversations with folks.
That's really beautiful, and I appreciate you sharing that. And I would recommend people take him up on it because Jason is wonderfully smart, knowledgeable, as well as just a good guy. And I am really happy you said yes. It's been a really great conversation. I've learned some stuff, and I've also gotten excited about stuff I want to go learn. And it's been something that I appreciate having these conversations. I just want to thank you, and especially thank you for helping us connect the dots.
Thank you, Jeffrey. This has been a really fantastic conversation, and I hope to see you at an event or just to grab a coffee sometime in the near future.
For sure. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast sponsored by AIQ. Subscribe at AIQnewsletter.com. Music produced by Sam Miller. Please subscribe on your preferred podcast platform so you don't miss any future episodes. If you could do me a favor and please leave a review on iTunes, I would really appreciate it. Remember, story matters and is the best way to connect the dots.